Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
All right. Well, this Sunday, I want to just kind of, it's almost a piggyback on where we've been over the last 4 weeks as we did a series on church hurt. And last week I talked to you about why I believe in the church, and I am crazy about the church. I love the church in for a number of different reasons. I shared some of those last week, but I'm crazy primarily about the church because Jesus is crazy about the church, right? I want to be crazy about the things that Jesus is crazy about, those things that he's not. How many know I probably shouldn't be crazy about those things, right? And so we talked about that, and I'm so thankful that our staff is crazy about the church, and many of you display that you're crazy about the church because of your faithfulness, because of your passion to serve the church and to serve the community. Some of you are starting to feel a little bit crazy about the church. You're like, I didn't used to go to church all the time, and now I find myself going there and like being involved, and I used to love Sunday mornings to watch, you know, NFL Sunday morning football and eat donuts, and now I'd go to church. What happened to me? Perhaps others of you are just kind of watching, you know, wondering what's going to happen next, and if I get too involved in the church, will I be crazy too? You know, I was thinking about a friend of mine, Bill Sharpless. He's brilliant. I mean, he had multiple doctorates and incredibly bright man, and was a pastor at a Baptist church in Missouri, and heard about this revival that was going on in the next town over to him. And so he went over to this revival just to kind of investigate, but also kind of like, you know, build a defense against some of the things that were happening there as God was doing some supernatural works. Bill went to that revival. He tells the story and sat there and was just like, you know, really skeptical and just kind of like this, you know, and left that night, and God met him at a Hy-Vee grocery store, aisle 12 in Springfield, Missouri area, and filled him with the Holy Spirit right there in aisle 12 of this grocery store in southern Missouri. And he's like, this can't be happening to me because I'm going to become one of those crazy people too. And God just began to do an incredible work in his life. Erwin McManus, in his book Unstoppable Force, says this: to live outside God's will puts us in danger. To live in his will makes us dangerous. And there's so much with that. But several weeks ago, Joel Shigo shared a testimony with me just about something that God did in his life. Joel's an incredible man, and him and his wife have served on missions field, and they've retired, and God brought them to our area, to our neighborhood. But God did something powerful. How many know God still does powerful things? Amen. God is a supernatural God doing supernatural things. And so Joel shared this testimony with me, and I was like, man, that's incredible. And as I was preparing this message for today, I was like, his name came to my mind, and I called him, and I was like, Joel, I don't know if you're in town this Sunday, but if you are, would you please share your story about what God. So that's not a tribute to any of us. That's a tribute to God. Amen. And his desire and his willingness to empower you and I to be his church. And so this morning I want to talk to you about the subject of an empowered church. And I don't know about you, but there have been times where I felt like the cards maybe were stacked against me. You hear Joel's testimony, and there was moments in his life, years in his life, where perhaps he felt like the cards were stacked against him because of some physical ailments. But if my guesser is right, I think that is how the disciples felt when Jesus said these words in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. I don't know about you, but just trying to put myself in their sandals for a moment, I would have felt a little bit overwhelmed by that task. Perhaps they felt inadequate, a task that maybe seemed impossible to them, impossible because most of the disciples weren't formally educated. Most of the disciples, many of them were in their early 20s, some in their late teens. All of them lived in a very poor region under the domination of Roman rule. For the most of 3 years, they had walked with Jesus. The 12 disciples didn't get along very well. Several of them were rivals. They were jockeying for positions within that group, if you will. None of them traveled more than a few hundred miles from home up to this point. All this took place in an era with limited technology where travel was by horseback or camel or whatever. There were no phones, tweets, emails, or even an established Pony Express. And Jesus made this declaration to them, and I'm paraphrasing it in my words, you are about ready to change the world because I'm going to empower you to do so. Talk about crazy. So what happened? What caused this ragtag group of disciples to not dissipate, but to multiplicate and transform lives up to 2,000 years later to where we sit yet today? Simply, it's the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The church was born through the power of the Spirit. Jesus talked to the disciples about this, and all through his ministry, he mentioned it. In fact, in John chapter 16, verses 7 and 8, Jesus said this, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you." The Helper is the Holy Spirit. "But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." And you see this playing out after the Holy Spirit is poured out in Acts chapter 2, that Peter is preaching this incredible message. But yet 50 days later, prior to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Peter is being intimidated. Sorry. Just pray for the interpretation. I guess I was just speaking in tongues or something. But he's threatened. He feels small by a young lady as she comes to him and asks him, "Aren't you one of them?" And he denies his allegiance to Christ. And now, 50 days later, he's preaching and 3,000 individuals are coming to faith in Christ. Why? Because the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a church that just, we come to a building and we show up. I want to be a church that's empowered by the Holy Spirit. So, not to go deep, but just to really scratch the surface on the subject of who is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a real person. He's the third person of the Trinity. He's co-equal with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Though he is often overlooked or perhaps even neglected in many of the 21st century churches or among 21st century believers, he is just as divine as the Father, just as divine as the Son. In fact, in Acts chapter 5, verse 3 and 4, the apostles recognize him as God. Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? why it remained unsold. While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you've contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. So as the Apostle Peter, the early church fathers are saying, listen, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this triune mystery, if you will, it's hard to impact, hard to put legs under it sometimes, is God, very God. Consider these truths about Holy Spirit. He possesses a divine personality and personally chooses people for ministry and assignment. You see that played out in Acts chapter 13, verse 2. My prayer is, as I was working through the message this morning, just praying through it here early, I just paused there. And one of my prayers was, oh God, as we gather in this place today, would your Spirit fall upon us individually, that each of us would see that God chooses people, that he places ministries upon your heart and passions in your life, not just to elevate you, obviously, but to promote and to push forward his kingdom. And it takes the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to accomplish that. That he would take a ragtag of young men and women and change the world. He communicates with us, Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. He searches out the deep things of God and makes them known to believers. You see that played out in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. He is the one who makes Christ a living reality to the believer. You want to know more about Jesus? Well, then get to know the Holy Spirit, and he will give you understanding of who Jesus is. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. It's called the Spirit. He's called the Spirit of Christ in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. And so we know that he was present at creation in Genesis chapter 1 as the Spirit was hovering over the deep. He was present with Christ in Mark chapter 1 at his baptism. He was present with Christ as he led him into the wilderness for his temptation. See that in Luke 4 and Mark chapter 1. He was present with Christ as Jesus did many works. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 28, he mentions it. It's stated that the works that he did were by the Holy Spirit. So he's instrumental in the life of Christ. He's fundamental in the early days of the church, and he's essential in our day and the days to come. Samuel Chadwick, the great Methodist preacher from England, said this: the Christian religion is hopeless without the Holy Spirit. Author Jim Cimbala writes this: everything we read about the church in the New Testament centered on the power of the Holy Spirit working in the hearts of Christian believers. We like things that are multifunctional, don't we? I mean, how many of you have like different, you think about this. This phone has multiple purposes. Right now I can get on this thing and I can text Nate Taylor right over here he's right over there. Usually you sit a few rows up, you threw me off there for a second. I can text Nate a quick message if I want to. I can get on here and I could call my sister in Australia. I could FaceTime her and I could show her all of you that are here this morning. I can open up my Bible app. I can play a game of checkers. Anybody playing any games right now? I can read a book on my Kindle. I can order from Amazon right now, and it'll probably be at my house before I get home from church. It's just incredible, the things that you can do. But yet I can call Mike later on, all from one simple device. It's absolutely amazing. But when I think of multifunctional things, I mean, you can't help but think about duct tape. Right? I mean, with duct tape, you can remove a splinter. With duct tape, you can do this. You can fix your a tire that's leaking. How many feel like that's a roadworthy vehicle right there? Right? With duct tape, you can fix a hose, you know, and like we've covered some miles with that, right? How many have ever done that, whether it's your garden hose or it's your car? It's just like, I got to fix this thing. Or with duct tape, you could make a pair of shoes. You know, I mean, right there. Who needs, hey dudes, when you can just have duct tape shoes? Right? Or best yet, this picture just cracks me. How many would feel a little bit safe if you were on that plane? Looking out the window, going, I think I will deboard now. Right? We like things that have several different purposes. Let me just talk to you about some of the purposes of the Holy Spirit this morning. And again, this is not an exhaustive list by any means, but just a few purposes of the Spirit. I want to talk to you about six of them real quick this morning. The first purpose of the Holy Spirit, and these aren't in any specific order, they're just purposes that the Spirit places in our life and He brings to our life, is the first one is the Holy Spirit comforts you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction." See, the Holy Spirit's always thinking about other people and how He can minister to through you to other people. He wants to minister to you, but He wants to minister through you to other people. He's never, ever going to miss an opportunity. He's never going to miss a moment. He's never going to waste a situation or a trial in your life. Who comforts us in all of our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Whenever a Christ follower is going through a difficult situation, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is there to comfort, to come along side. The first cry of our hearts should be, Holy Spirit, come upon me now. I need you in this moment. John chapter 14 in the King James Version says this, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, shall teach you all things." So the Holy Spirit's a teacher as well. Not only is he a comforter, but he's a teacher. "And bring all things to your remembrance." How many, the older you get, the more you like, I think I need to depend on the Holy Spirit because I'm forgetting a whole lot these days, right? "He'll bring things to our remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." So, the Holy Spirit, I don't know if this has ever happened to you. It's happened to me many a times. I mean, I'll do my morning devotions. I'll close my Bible and that was nice. Nothing really like just illuminated and struck me powerfully. But days later, months later, years later, all of a sudden I'll be in a conversation. I'll be in a situation with somebody. I'll be talking to them. And all of a sudden, like the Holy Spirit reaches way back to a devotional moment, a time that I had with Him, and pull something out that I didn't even think about was applicable to my life. I just did my discipline, and God brings that out and sets it right on the table, and all of a sudden, it ministered to me, but now it's ministering to we. Have you ever had that happen? You see John chapter 14 living right before you as the Holy Spirit brings things to your remembrance. Comforter. Why? Because sometimes life's hard. Dreams can be crushed. Discouragement can set in. And just think of the Holy Spirit as a weighted blanket, if you will. Some of you this morning, this afternoon, you're going to go home and you're going to take a nap. I've seen you look at your watch already, man. And you're going to go home and you're going to throw that blanket on yourself. And you're going to feel the weight of it come down on you, and you're just like going to snuggle into that wherever you're at in your house, and you're just like, this is good. And in fact, I'm going to leave church right now and go do that, right? As you do that, may you be reminded that is what the Holy Spirit wants to be to you. In every moment of your life, as you go through your week, that as you bump up against something that's difficult or challenging or discouraging, that you would just, may you just feel the weight of the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Because here's what we do. We look to false comforts too often. People will look to alcohol for their comfort. If I can just numb myself a little bit to this pain, if I, you know, it's been a hard day at work, so I'm going to come home at 5 and I'm going to have my drink of alcohol and And that's what's going to calm me down. That's what I'm going to look to bring me peace and comfort and unwind from my day. Can I just challenge you in that? If that's your rhythm and that's your pattern, can I just push against you a little bit that instead of coming home and tying one on, would you go to your prayer closet and just say, Holy Spirit, I want to experience your comfort because I know your comfort can last a lot longer than that comfort. Or people will look to prestige to bring them a comfort. It's a false comfort. They'll look to drugs to bring them. It's a false comfort. They'll look to porn to look to find comfort. It's a false comfort. They'll look to pride to find comfort. It's a false comfort versus the true comfort that the Holy Spirit offers us. Because, you know, because that's authentic. That's the real deal. Secondly, we learn this about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads your life. That when you're empowered by Him, as we're as a church are empowered, as we're living an empowered church life, the Holy Spirit leads our life. Romans chapter 8, verse 4 says this, He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us, who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about the things that please the Spirit. What's your mindset on? Is your mindset on what the Spirit desires or what the flesh desires for your life? Do you care and ask what the Holy Spirit desires for your life? Because the reality is, it's really easy to get to where what the flesh wants for your life, is it not? You can get there like so quick, or at least I can. And that doesn't necessarily, I'm not talking even about being doing stupid, sinful stuff. It's just like you're just flesh can just like, hey, I'm here, right? How are you going to respond to this? How are you going to respond to your wife? How are you going to respond to your kid? How are you going to respond to your neighbor barking dogs in the middle of the night? What are you going to do? And your flesh is just like, I'm here. And the Spirit is going, so am I. Will you let me lead you? The reality is this, too many Christians are more in tune with what their flesh is saying than what the Holy Spirit is saying. And Paul says this in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. What part of your life? Every part of your life. Every leaning, every conversation, every perspective, every desire that the Spirit would follow, that you would follow the Spirit's leading in your life. What does it look like to follow the Spirit's leading? Well, you speak what the Spirit says to speak. 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 2, verse 13, Spirit-led people speak what the Spirit says to speak. You go where the Spirit says go. Jesus modeled that, Luke chapter 4, driven out into the wilderness by the Spirit to experience temptation. But if the Spirit's leading you, how many know you're going to be all right? If the flesh is leading you, how many know you're not going to be all right? To be led, you need to be filled by the Spirit. Acts chapter 11 would be a great example of this. Verse 11 says this, and behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were sent to me from Caesarea, and the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. I won't unpack the whole passage of Scripture, what's going on there, but other than the Spirit told Peter, go with them. They're not people that you would normally hang out with, Peter, but I want you to go with them. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. The Spirit can tell you what to buy, where to go, who to marry, what to do, how to respond. And another thought is, you don't go where the Spirit says not to go. Acts chapter 16, verse 6 and 7, you see Paul living that out. I want to go here. And the Spirit says, don't go there. That's not where I want you to go. You listen for the Spirit speaking through God's people. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves and free. All were made to drink of one spirit, for the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. We are one. And lo, and that you and I would be spiritually mature enough to hear what the Spirit is speaking to us and through us. And Steve, how do we know? Well, you test it, obviously, is what is being spoken to you, whether it's from the pulpit, whether it's in a life group setting, whether it's a one-on-one setting, whether someone says, thus saith the Lord, that you test it. Is it biblical? Does it smell of the fruit of the Spirit? If you're a student and you're at Wednesday night and you're in life group, your life group time, and that during that breakdown time, you have opportunity to hear what the Spirit would want to say to you through the body that is present in that setting, through your peers. The worship team, for example, that you're at Wednesday night practice and you're just working along and someone wants to speak to the group about something, that we would lean in, that we would allow people to speak into our lives, that we would anticipate and come expecting to hear from what the Spirit would want to say to us in any setting when we're assembled with believers. Anytime we're going through our day, God, what do you want to speak to me? Let the Spirit speak to you about daily decisions. You see that played out in Acts chapter 13, verse 2. The Spirit wants to speak to us about the daily decisions of life, big and small. I'm not talking about, man, should I wear my brown shoes or my black shoes today? I mean, if you need help with that, ask the Lord. Maybe he'll help you. I don't know. But I'm not talking about simple things like that, but just the daily, Lord, man, as I look at my schedule today, I have a lot of meetings. It's going to be a packed day. God, but I don't want to miss you. I don't want to miss divine opportunities. Help me guide my conversations. Help me to speak when I need to speak, and help me to be quiet when I need to be quiet. Lord, I'm getting ready to go Christmas shopping. God, I invite you. The parking lot this time of year, it's a dangerous place. Lord, I pray for your protection. Right? But just inviting the Lord. One of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to lead our lives. The third purpose of the Spirit is this. The Holy Spirit unifies the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. The body is a unit. Though it's made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we're all baptized into one Spirit, into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. We're all different, but we form one body. The Holy Spirit glorifies Christ by building up the body for the common good. Because of the Holy Spirit, you and I are one body. Look at your neighbor and just say, we're one. How do you like me now? Right? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21, and whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. I mean, you stop and think about what's happening here. Stop and think about that. Again, this is why it's so important to be connected to a church and to be faithful in being in attendance with the body of believers. Ephesians 4:2 says this, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. The Holy Spirit leads people, and Holy Spirit-led people are people of unity, not division. People who are causing division in the body of Christ, no matter how loud they are or how long they've been there, or how long they've been around, they're not full of the Holy Spirit if someone's causing division. And the beauty of Life Point is that we are an Assembly of God church. That's our history. That's the fellowship that we're connected with. But man, there's Methodists in the house. There's Assembly of God folk in the house. There's Baptist people in the house. There's Catholic people in the house. There's Pentecostals and Nazarenes and unchurched, de-churched, and forgot about church in the house today. But we're one body, and Christ is our head. Amen? I mean, it's incredible. Why? Because we're baptized into one Spirit to be one body. The Holy Spirit is trying to unify us, not divide us. And that, you know, and that just makes me, the other day as I was preparing, I was just like, I just paused and just had a moment, oh God, unify us even more. Holy Spirit, show yourself to us. Empower us in such a way. When someone gets full of the Holy Spirit, you'll fight to protect the unity of the faith. A divided world, which we live in, which we've always lived in, it's nothing new, needs to see a unified church, a united church. And what other purposes does the Holy Spirit want to accomplish? Holy Spirit wants to empower you. Look at it, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And it's power for living. It's not that it wasn't my prayers that healed Joel. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. It's you and I just saying, you know what, man, I need prayer, and I want to pray for people. And so I'm going to go to someone and just, if you will, cast that seed of faith and obedience and say, you know, all I can do is do what God asked me to do and be his church and go to people that are in need, and whether it's a need of healing or something else, just say, here, my Lord, send me. And there's been times where I've prayed for people, and guess what? Yeah, it was about that quiet. Nothing happened. And there's other times where it was clear immediately something happened. Other times, it showed up days, weeks, now months, that God showed its power for living. One person said this: everything about the Spirit speaks of powerful currents of life that refresh us and flow out to bless others. Check out Romans chapter 8, verse 11. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, I'm going to read that again just because I like that. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. I mean, how many of you just want to be empowered and just be filled with the Holy Spirit? Something to think about. Imagine the measuring stick of the power promised to us is the same strength that raised the corpse of Jesus from the dead. Does that like move you? Because if that doesn't move you and if that doesn't stir you, then can I just be blunt and honest with you? Your wood is wet. If you're a follower of Jesus and you read a passage of Scripture like that, and that doesn't like, wait a minute, then something's wrong. That should like, wow, the possibilities and the opportunities that are before us. Number five, another purpose of the Spirit in our life is the Holy Spirit convicts us. He convicts people of sin because he wants them to be saved. Sin is what separates the sinner from God, right? And the Holy Spirit is what is who reveals. He convicts the sinner. He reveals the sin. It's the Savior, Jesus, who restores the sinner and makes them a saint. John chapter 16, verse 7 talks about that. Why does God convict the world of sin? So that they would know him. The Holy Spirit draws lost people to Jesus. And the only way to come to Jesus is by the Holy Spirit drawing them. So that's a great way to pray. If you know somebody that's lost, if you know someone that's far from God, Holy Spirit, right now, I would just pray right now, Holy Spirit, just begin to draw them to Jesus. Draw them to the Lord. Think about, you know, what happened in my life. I was just living life as an American teenager, man, doing what American teenagers do, right? Friday, Saturday night, going out drinking and partying and relationships and all that stuff. And having success in athletics, and I didn't care much about school. You know, I prayed whenever I had a test. That didn't work for me. But I can remember going to parties and thinking, coming, getting home, and thinking, this is it. This is it. This is the best that it's going to get. And to get better, I have to go deeper into that, I got to get drunk more, I got to try this, or I got to do that. And this empty feeling just came over me, a feeling of desperation. Then I went up to my friend who had invited me several times to go to his church with him, and I just said, hey, Scotty, can I go to church with you tonight, man? And I walked into that church going, there has to be more. And I walked out going, there's life there, and I want it. The Holy Spirit convicts the sinner, but he also convicts saints to be sanctified. For the Christian, the purpose of conviction isn't salvation, it's sanctification. It's sanctification is just a fancy church word of allowing Jesus to get things out of your life so that you can be more like Jesus. And that's a good thing, because the world doesn't need to see you and I. They've seen people like us enough. They need to see Jesus. Why does the Holy Spirit convict us? It leads us to the last thought this morning, is the Holy Spirit changes you. He convicts you to change you. To change you to be more like Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says this: so all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. The glory of who? The Lord. It's not, hey, see what the Lord did in me, see what the Lord did through me, see me. See, oh, if you only would have saw me then, but now you see me now. Oh, see me? It's not that, is it? To reflect the glory of the Lord, and the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. The good news this morning, or part of the good news this morning, is the person that you dressed and brought to church this morning is not the final product. It's not the finished product, according to that passage of Scripture. Aren't you glad? I mean, I'm glad about that in my life, that He's not done with me yet. He's continually working in me. Conviction's a good thing. If you're doing something or have done something that you feel conviction over, be glad for it. Conviction is a good thing. It's the Holy Spirit calling you to Himself to work some things out of you so that you can become more and more like Him. When we sense conviction, can I encourage us to lean into it? Don't lean away from it. Conviction isn't scary. What is scary is this, if you're a believer. What's scary about conviction is when you don't feel it. If you're in sin, if you're talking and speaking in a way that is destructive, you're making decisions that you know aren't life-giving, right? But you don't feel any conviction from those things, man, that's scary. If you're a follower of Jesus here and you look over the course of your life and things that you've been doing and you're like, man, I don't feel bad about that. I don't feel that that's wrong. But yet you open up Scripture and you see line upon line that, hey, that's, I'm not for that. but you don't feel conviction, then something's wrong. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is that he is convicting us so that we're becoming more and more like Jesus. That's his role and that's his goal. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, so as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert. Don't ignore. Don't harden your heart. Yield to the Holy Spirit. If the worship team would come. This morning, I wanted to leave a little bit more time on the back end just for us to push into his presence. Just for us to say, Holy Spirit, I want to be empowered by you. I want to be filled by you, fresh and anew. God, I want to be comforted by you. God, there's some things going on in my life right now where some decisions, I need to be led by you. So I surrender myself to you. What's the purpose of the Holy Spirit in your life? What's the purpose of the Holy Spirit? What purpose does he serve in the empowered church? To comfort us, to lead us, to unify us, to empower us, to convict us, to change us. So what do you do? What are some takeaways? Yeah, we're going to have an altar time. We're going to have a little bit longer time of worship here at the end that we've built in, and it's still early. But if I could give you some takeaways this morning, if I could admonish you in some things, is to daily be filled with the Spirit. And you may not feel anything when you pray that prayer. Out of, you know, it comes from Ephesians 5, where Paul admonishes the church at Ephesus to continually be filled with the Spirit. It's not just a one time. Back in 62, I was filled and I spoke in tongues. It's this idea of continually being filled with the Spirit. So that would be a part of our daily pursuit of being empowered by the Spirit. I mean, a few months ago we talked about your phone, and most of us at night, what do we do with our phone, man? We connect it to its power source. Why? So it can be recharged, so that when you're ready for the day, when you wake up the next day, this thing's fully charged because you're dependent upon this thing. I mean, we freak out when our phone's not charged and it says 10%. And then we panic when it goes do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Right? Because there's so much in this thing that we rely on, but how much more should it be for the Holy Spirit? Daily be filled. And then secondly, daily depend. Put ourselves in situations where we're totally dependent on God to show up. God, I see this person right over here, whether you're at the grocery store or neighbor or in church. God, I see this person with a need, and there's something going on in my heart where I feel like you're drawing, you're making that person aware, that need aware to me, and I don't know what you have planned. I don't know, you know, what you want me to do, but I'm just going to begin to step towards them and engage them in conversation. And Lord, if you want me to pray, I'm going to pray. God, if you want me to pray healing, I'm going to pray healing. God, if you want me to invest and to buy their groceries or fill their gas tank or shovel their snow, whatever, God, I'm going to do that. I'm going to put myself in situations where I have to depend upon you and not myself. I'm going to ask you, God, to show up in this moment, because it's really easy for me just to walk on by. And we miss opportunities when we do that. And then just daily, be aware of the nudge. Sometimes it's just there's just a gentle nudge. Hey, psst. Go talk to Mike. Hey, shoot so-and-so a text. Hey, and just that nudge. Be aware of it and respond to it. And guess what will begin to happen? You become more and more familiar with the nudge of the Spirit. And suddenly what seemed to be a whisper becomes a voice almost, if you will, a strong prompting that's like so strong. Oh, you want me to do that? I see the writing on the wall because I've trained myself to hear the nudge and to respond to the nudge. And guess what happens if you miss it and your intent is, God, I'm just trying to be obedient to you. You know what happens? Grace. If your intention is to bring glory to the Father and to reflect Jesus more, that's your intention, and you're not being careless, you're not being stupid, you're not being, you know, whatever. Do you think your Heavenly Father is gonna go, ay, 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 ay. Sound the alarm, my kingdom is going down. No way. He's gonna say, get up. I appreciate and I love your desire and your hunger to be used and to be available to me. Get up, let's go, because there's a world out there that needs to see me. And I, as Joel said, I have chosen you and I can use you. All I just need for you is to be available. Are you still available? Let me fill you. Father God, this morning, God, we want to be a church that's empowered by you. God, we want to see a church that sees signs and wonders, not for our glory or so that we can say, hey, look, what's happening at Life Point. But Lord, we're just a church that wants to be available and fully surrendered and fully submitted to you, walking in holiness and fear and admonition of the Lord, to the best of our ability, being living righteously and truthfully before you and before others. So God, we can just reflect your image and reflect your glory in every situation. Forgive us, Holy Spirit, when we've become comfortable, where we've become complacent, where we've become so familiar with something that we're not listening to, or we're not looking for the nudges. We're not asking you, Lord, today, I need you to fill me today. Lord, I don't know what I'm going to encounter today. I don't know the conversations I'm going to have today. Or, Lord, there's a lot to look forward to today. I'm so excited about what's on my calendar and the opportunities that are before me. But God, I don't want to waste any of them. Holy Spirit, fill me today. And God, may your fruit of the Spirit be evident in my life through this day, but also may the gifts of the Spirit be evident in my life today as I go through this day, so that if I encounter somebody that just needs a healing in their life, God, and you would want to use me, Lord, here I am. Even if I've never prayed that way for somebody before, God, fill me today. Empower me by your Spirit today. Just like you empowered the early church, empower us today in this place. God, if there's things in our life that aren't right, Holy Spirit, convict us. And then take that thing out and replace it with the fruit of your Spirit. Replace it with the gift of your Spirit, a gift of your Spirit, whatever that may be. God, we want to display you well. And God, for that to happen, we need to be filled by you. So Lord, in these moments that we have before we leave this place today and we respond to you, fill us, Lord God, we pray. As we move to the altar and move to this worship set, let me, as your heads are bowed, if you're here this morning or you're watching online and you heard Joel's testimony perhaps and faith arose in your heart of what God can do, and you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, and today you're here and you've heard that testimony, you heard the message, and there's something just resonating within your heart. Your faith is rising up to say, man, Jesus is real. In a way that you've never had that happen. And can I just encourage you, that's the Holy Spirit working in your life today. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you today, and he's asking you to put your trust in Jesus. And you're here this morning and you're like, Steve, would you pray for me? I want to receive Christ as my Lord and Savior. If you're here and that's your prayer, if that's your desire, would you just slip up your hand right where you're at? Anyone at all? I want to give opportunity. If you're watching online and that's your desire, would just maybe put a wave there in the chat bar. Jesus, we just want to pray for those that are coming to faith, those that will be coming to faith in the coming days. Lord, we pray, Lord, for just hearts of repentance. We pray, God, Lord, that the presence of your Spirit would be so thick in our lives and God, in this sanctuary, when people come in and out, God, that they'd be so aware of you here that people would just run to you, Jesus, just as they are, and they would experience the cleansing power of being renewed and made new in Christ Jesus, that their sins would be washed away, removed as far as the east is from the west, and made new, and they would step into this incredible relationship that's not just for today, but is for all eternity, because we're made right with God because of what you did, Jesus. We are totally dependent upon you for salvation to happen. Holy Spirit, do your work and bring in people to faith in Christ, we pray as well. For the rest of us, as you sat and listened through this message, as you've seen the scripture in your Bible or up on the screen, and there is this desire within you to live an empowered life, as we step into worship, I would exhort you and encourage you just to come and find a place here in the altars, or if you want to move to the side of the sanctuary to go to that area, just to say, Lord, I want all that you have for me. I want you to fill me with your Spirit, every part of my life, that it would be empowered by you. Forgive me if maybe you're here this morning and that's been your prayer in the past, but that's not been your prayer presently, that your prayer would be initially, Lord, forgive me for not passionately, continually remembering to pursue the empowerment of your Spirit. And thank you for just stirring my heart this morning. If you're here this morning and you need comfort, you perhaps have experienced conviction through this service. If you're like, I want to be changed, I want change in my life by the power of your Spirit, then I would encourage you as well to just come to the altar or build an altar right where you're at. An altar is just a place where we lay things down before the Lord. We surrender to the Lord and we ask him to take that which we're surrendering and replace it with more of his Spirit, with more of the fruit of his Spirit that you read about in Galatians 5, or the gifts of the Spirit that we read about in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, that he would just take up those empty spaces with his Spirit in our life. Church, would you stand with me? I encourage you not to leave yet. We're not done yet. This is not a dismissal, end of service dismissal. This is an opportunity to respond and to say, Jesus, I want to be empowered. I want to be an empowered church. I want us to be an empowered church and to respond appropriately. If the altars are open, I would love to come behind you and just pray for you during this time, that the Holy Spirit would just fill you fresh and anew. But let's not miss this opportunity.
This concludes the teaching. Thank you for listening, and we hope you can join us for next Sunday's service with Pastor Steve Raines.